Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Canadian jazz multi-instrumentalist Colin Mayer. We had a good conversation about the new 2022 CD he has out called Joyride. We talked about his life in music, COVID, and the future. This album is the combination of Colin on oboe and accordionist Charles Cozens, working as a very versatile duo pushing the limits of music with fresh sounds, original compositions, and adventurous arrangements. Along with the music, he has worked for over 20 years as a dancer, actor, stuntman, singer, choreographer, acrobat, and martial artists. And with that, you can tell this is going to be a good story. Enjoy.
Thanks for taking a minute out for Neon Jazz today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. This is very exciting, and I mean, helping me out, so this is great.
Yeah, no worries, man. So Joyride is your new album, and I'm curious, before we get into how you put this together artistically, you know, it's coming out during a time where we've kind of gone through this undulating pandemic where things open up and close down and open up and close down, but right now it's coming out, and hopefully there's chances for this to be performed live and promoted in the proper way. So talk to me about the timing of this release.
It's not ideal, right? Not a ton of good ideal timings nowadays. But 2 years ago, about 2 years ago, we were planning to do this. We started the application for some grants and funding, and then COVID hit, and then just after COVID hit, we got the news that we got the grant. So we thought, well, we should follow through with this, even though, you know, whatever timing, but because of all the lockdowns, it took a long time to get everything going, as you can imagine. So, yeah, like, I think probably right now is almost serendipitous in a way that here we are at just as things are about to start opening up and there's festivals and I know people are really excited to get out and see live performances of any kind. Cross the fingers that it keeps going. So maybe in one way it's not so great, but in the others, I think there's always a silver lining.
From where I'm at on this end of things, it seems like this is probably the time. I think now we're at a point where, you know, it's going to start getting warm. We're going to enter different seasons, and hopefully we're going to move past some things. So, but on Joyride, talk to me a little bit about what you hope the listener gets from this particular release.
You know, my partner Charles and I, we like to have, obviously, like the fact that I'm an oboist and he's an accordion player, to me, you know, that's always just quirky enough. But we're trying to play music that we love, that we love to have fun. The music on the album, you know, like the way the name of the album is, Joyride, which is the name of the group, we can go, we like to take an audience kind of in different directions as like you wouldn't a Joyride, just kind of a fun, spontaneous departure. So that's what we hope. That's what we hope people get from the album is just a beginning to end listening of the album that is spontaneous, that does, you hear sounds that you probably would have never heard before because of oboe and the accordion, because of the songs we're playing on it. It's not necessarily the typical music that you'd hear from these instruments. We've interspersed these little stories, and the music follows the stories afterwards. And so that's, I guess, in a nutshell, hopefully they have a quote-unquote musical joyride of their own listening to it.
So speaking of joyride, how did the oboe become your instrument?
When I was in junior high, starting band, the band teacher, you know, everybody's picking their instruments, and trombone was actually my choice, but I was short and at the time, and you know, the band teacher's like, maybe not trombone, you might not have as much success. And but then he found out that I played violin, Suzuki violin, from grade, like actually from age 3, and so he said, well, you got a good ear, why don't we put you on oboe? And so it was kind of chosen for me. I play other instruments, but you know, as an oboe player, there's always seems to be an opportunity to play. There's always a band or an orchestra or something where they need an oboe player. So that just kind of kept going and going and going. And next thing you know, I'm in university doing this, and then I'm working, and kind of became the instrument. And I love it. I love the instrument. I love being able to do stuff on the instrument that, I guess, and doing whatever I want to do. That's, you know, you get good on an instrument, and I guess same with Charles with his instruments too. You kind of just because it becomes who you are in some ways, but also doesn't totally represent you as a person. It's just, this is the instrument that I just happen to play, and I really like it.
So talk to me a little bit about, you know, growing up and, you know, jazz influences and musical influences that really swayed the way you approach your instrument and your voice.
That's a good question. So when I was younger, I guess I remember going with my dad to, some record shop, which at that point, you know, there was cassettes, and I would buy these cassettes of the greatest hits of the 50s, greatest hits of the 40s, 30s. And I remember one of my favorite ones was the hits of the big band hits. And I listened to that tape forever, all Glenn Miller, all that stuff, a lot of the Benny Goodman stuff. And I played the oboe, and I didn't play the clarinet. I always kind of was wanting to play in that Benny Goodman style or play in the big band style, the jazz stuff. And, you know, it took me a long time to sort of try and breach that with the oboe. But that's sort of how it began. It was all that big band stuff. And then but university, I discovered Bella Fleck and the Flecktones. That was a huge, huge influence, because those guys are all masters of what they do, and they're all soloists, and they're all in such an incredible ensemble. After so many years, they're just incredibly influential. So that was kind of it, and I remember listening. Oh, it was another Oregon with Paul McCandless, who was an oboe player, as well as sax and flute and clarinet and bassoon, I believe. So I started hearing all these other people who were, you know, doing interesting things, like Bella Fleck. Well, he's a banjo player, but here he is playing classical and jazz. And here's Paul McCandless. He's an oboe player, and here he is doing this super cool avant-garde jazz stuff on the oboe. And I thought, okay, so that means it's possible. So that was a huge influence for me.
So what was the first live jazz show that you saw that really made you think, wow, this is it, I've arrived?
Boy, that's a good question. You know what? I think it actually came down when I was in university. Because I say I was in junior high and high school, and, you know, I was in the jazz band. I played saxophone in the jazz band, and yes, it's whatever. But we're all kids, and none of us are really any good. But then you get to university, and I'm still not good. I'm in my first year, but I'm seeing all these fourth year players who are the big heavy jazz guys. I remember it was a few of the guys from my university listening to these guys play songs that were in 11/12 time signatures, Balkan jazz, or just so out of the box that I couldn't even understand it, and I was just blown away by how they could play, you know. And they're only a couple of years older than me. that was probably, you know, watching them play these university recitals. That was probably the biggest moment of going, oh wow, okay, I get it. I need to do this.
So why do you love jazz? What is it that you love so much about it?
Well, as a classical oboe player, everything is incredibly regimented. We have to make our own oboe reeds. Like, you don't really go to a store as a professional oboe player and buy a box of reeds like a clarinet or a saxophone player would do. So, you know, you meticulously make these reeds, and you meticulously practice these 16-bar excerpts from symphonies, from different orchestral works. You practice all the solo, all the Mozart, and all that stuff. There came a time when, you know, you're afraid to actually play any note, because, you know, no matter what you do, it's going to be wrong, or that's how you feel in your head. I don't have trained, I guess. Maybe you just sort of feel trained that it has to be one way or it's wrong. It's either perfect or it's wrong. You know, like a 97% of your playing is just not good enough. And the freedom of playing jazz on the oboe was so beneficial for me as a classical player too, because suddenly, you know, if I hit my A at A440 on the tuner, perfectly in tune, in classical, that's a win. But in jazz, it's good, but you can bend it, you can be sharp, you can slide, you can use pitch to influence, you know, musical lines. You can use different tones, you know, with a lot of classical music too. It's, here's the very specific tone that we want you to play, and try and match every other oboe player who's played in the past 200 years. We have recordings of all of them, so no excuses. But with jazz, it was, again, all of a sudden I could play with different colors of the instrument. And because I'm playing it in this style, it everything was good, and it really opened my mind to not be as worried about playing classical. So it was incredibly influential for that. And so I've always come back to jazz throughout my whole life, really used it as a way to find out who I am as a musician. And that was basically it.
Everyone has a perception or an idea of who they think you are, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you live your life. You have a perception of yourself. Who do you think you are?
Whoa, you got some good questions here. I think that at the end of the day, I think that I love to perform. I love to be with people. I'm a very social person. Playing music and performing has always been a way for me to do that. I like to try and be as unabashedly honest as and be myself when I'm on stage, and I try and live my life as honest and to myself every day. My son gave me my son's 18. I don't know if this happened very recently. We were walking around somewhere, and I was, you know, hanging out with him and some of his friends, and then I met some, you know, we were at a store or something like that, and I'm talking to the cashiers, and my son afterwards, he said, you talk to everyone the same way. And I thought, oh, that's like the best compliment ever, because that's kind of what I wanted to do. I wanted to feel like, yeah, everything that I'm just me. I'm not going to try and, I don't want to be, not that I wouldn't change or adapt for people at all, but I want to make sure that I'm being genuine as much as I can, and hopefully that a genuine approach, that's the goal, is that hopefully that makes it into the performing, and then, you know, you connect with an audience on a much deeper level if you're being genuine, because they can spot if you're not.
Yeah, that's wonderful, man. I love that. Hey, man, thank you for taking a minute out for Neon Jazz. Thanks for the music, and good luck with everything as hopefully the world opens up and you get to promote the new album.
I appreciate that. Thanks so much. And thank you so much for this, the opportunity to do this.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and performers in Canada, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Colin for his time, energy, and cool. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit neonjazz at youtube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to the neonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time. Enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.